الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون. صدق الله العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, inshallah, just to continue from our last session, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in His glorious speech, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Success is for the believers, those who show complete submissiveness in their salah. The word khushu' means a quality salah. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from the believers. Not just a salah, but a salah that is of khushu', and khushu' means a quality salah. Now for that we have to make an effort. Very, very important. My Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Zulfikar Sahab would give a very beautiful example. He would say that unfortunately the salah of people today is like that person who is traveling in the plane, and you get some people that mashallah the best sleep for them is in the plane. The best sleep for them is in the plane. And then you get others also who can't sleep. But we are talking about those who can sleep very comfortably. And so the minute the plane takes off and the seat belt sign is switched off, the seat is reclined, looks for the pillow, the blanket, Allahumma bismika mutu ahyai. And they go to sleep. And for them it's a very nice sleep. And only when the plane lands, they wake up. And they say, oh, mashallah, we've landed. We have landed. So Hazrat used to say for a lot of the people today, is that when they would say Allahu Akbar, and when you say Allahu Akbar, the flight takes off. And so when he says Allahu Akbar, that is it. He starts daydreaming, he's in a different world, he's thinking about everything in his four rakats. Just like that person in his flight who is drowsy and wants to go to sleep. And only when the plane lands and only when the imam will say, or that person will say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, all of a sudden he wakes up. Oh, where am I now? And so in his entire salah, unfortunately, this man has been dreaming. Dreaming of all sorts. And so what we need to do, my respected brothers, is we need to understand that we need to make our salah. And inshallah ta'ala, when our salah is of khushu', we will enjoy our salah. We will enjoy our ruku', we will enjoy our qiyam, we will enjoy our sujood, we will enjoy sitting in the masjid, we will enjoy making dua. This is something which is very important. When you don't have khushu', there is no enjoyment in that salah. Sheikh Abdul Wahid, rahmatullah alayh, was sitting in a gathering, and some of the people around him was speaking about the ni'mah, the blessings that will be given to a person in Jannah. And so they were describing how Jannah will be, that Jannah will be like this, Jannah will be like this. And then someone said that there is no salah in Jannah. There is no salah in Jannah. There isn't, ne? Show you this. There isn't. So there is no salah in Jannah. And when they said there is no salah in Jannah, Sheikh Abdul Wahid started to cry. He started crying and crying. And so some of the people said to him, Hazrat, why do you cry? He said, no, I'm just crying that I can't imagine Jannah without salah. Jannah will be a place of boredom for me. I'll get bored. If there is no salah in Jannah, then how will I enjoy Jannah? And so that is why I am crying. Now imagine, my respected brothers, I'm not talking about the companions. These are not the companions. These are great scholars. The efforts they must have put in their salah, the concentration level, the khushu', how hard they must work to achieve that level, the level of Anbiya alayhim salam. That is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he was invited for Mi'raj on his way, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw Musa alayhi salam praying salah in alame barzakh. In alame barzakh, in the grave, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam was praying salah. This is mentioned in the hadith. And so the sifat of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki rahmatullah alayhi, a great scholar, a great muhaddis of his time, he said to his students that inshallah, if Allah gives me entry into Jannah, my only request will be that, Ya Allah, give me the space of one musalla. What did he say? Ajib. In Jannah, he is asking Allah, he will ask Allah, that Allah, give me a space of one musalla under your arsh. Bas. Just give me the space of one musalla under your arsh, so that I can worship you, that I can stand in qiyam, do my ruku, do my sujood, and that is it. That is my Jannah, under the arsh, that one space given to me, and I will be happy. Not interested in the hoor and the qusur there. Allahu Akbar. These were great people. Now of course, you know, we are not saying to get into that level, but at least, mashallah, to make some efforts. Malana Yahya rahmatullah alayh. Intentionally, I'm not talking about the companions. We can understand the companions. Someone might say, we've heard stories, we've read hikayati sahaba, and we know of the companions. But these are contemporaries, our scholars of recent times. Malana Yahya rahmatullah alayh, when he would do sujood, the sujood was very long. The sujood was very long. And so someone said to him, Hazrat, you do sajda, that is very long. He said, that is the truth. When I go in sajda, it seems like as if I am placing my head at the feet of my master and I am the servant. I am placing my head at the feet of my master and I am the servant. I enjoy that sujood so much, I don't want to lift up from that position. This is the enjoyment, my respected brothers, that we require. when we read our salah. The problem today is we don't make effort. We don't make effort in any of the commandments of Sharia. In nikah, we get married, nikah, we don't even know what is nikah. Bas, have you accepted her in your nikah? Jiha, nakahtuha wa kabiltuha. Bhai, finished. Bhai, have you studied? Have you done your revision? Have you done your homework? Do you understand the concept of marriage? Do you understand the concept of salah? Do you understand the ruh of hajj? Do you understand the ruh of sawm, fasting? And so this is something that is very, very important. We need to make effort. And inshallah ta'ala, when we do this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open the doors. Allah will open the doors. You and I have seen youth and youngsters, mashallah, in the masjid, doing qiyam for long hours, ruku for long hours, sujood for a long period of time. The youth of today, enjoying their salah. There is a possibility. It's not something that is impossible. Provided we follow the tartib, the pattern that is shown to us in the Sharia. And so in the last session we covered some important points, inshallah, just to quickly recap so that it sets well in the heart. When we say Allahu Akbar, this is a transitional phrase. You say Allahu Akbar all the time when you change your postures from one position to another position, you say Allahu Akbar. Usually the translation of Allahu Akbar is Allah is the greatest. Allah is the greatest. But linguistically, the translation is Allah is greater. Allah is greater. That is the translation. And so there is this question mark, Allah is greater than who? Deliberately, this is the fasahat and the balaghat, the grammar and the beauty of the Arabic language, that Allah is greater and then there is a question mark. The reason for that is that when you start your salah, shaitan will want to disturb you through wasawis. And so every time shaitan disturbs you, it's time for that person to change position and he will say Allahu Akbar. So if he is trying to spoil your qiyam, don't let your ruku be spoiled. So when you go in ruku, when you say Allahu Akbar, one must think that Allah is greater than all the distractions that are coming to me. Allah is greater than that. Allah is greater than my shop. Allah is greater than my car. Allah is greater than my house. Allah is greater than my friends. Allah is greater than my work. Whatever is disturbing you, put Allah in front. Allahu Akbar. That Allah is greater than this. And that is how you practice. And then understand Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. We talked about this. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la is said when you're in sajda. That you put your face down to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in sujood. This is your identity, this is your image, this is your honor, and you put your honor down in humility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you are saying, Subhana Rabbi, how most absolutely perfect is my Lord who is the Most High. That I have put myself completely down for who? The one who is A'la, the one who is the Most High. And understand the translation. A lot of the times where we go wrong is because we don't actually know what we are reading. We don't actually know what we are reading. And so, inshallah ta'ala, one should try to make an effort, and it's not difficult at all. Understand what you are reading, and then you see how easy it becomes for a person to concentrate. And so inshallah ta'ala, tonight let us begin with one hadith, which is hadith-e-qudsi. And hadith-e-qudsi means a hadith in which Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said. So it is not the Quran, it is not the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it is something that Allah has directly inspired in the heart of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or he is informed. And then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that qala Allah ta'ala, that Allah is saying this. And so we have this hadith Qudsi in which Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying that Allah is saying. The words of the hadith are qasamtu salata bayni wa bayna abdi nisfain. Qasamtu salata bayni وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي نِسْفَيْنِ. Very beautiful hadith Qudsi. And we need to understand this. Salah is your communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make this an event that you are actually in communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah wants to open with you, with each individual, some form of communication in the form of salah with you. So you are in direct communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you communicate with someone 5 times a day, it means that you dearly love that person. We have a lot of people, groups that come here and they say, how can you pray 5 times a day? It's all about love. It's all about love. A wife might say that, alhamdulillah, I have the best husband. He phones me 5 times a day. He phones me 5 times a day. Who does that? I'm not going to ask you. But I have the best husband. 5 times a day he phones me. 5 times a day he will text me. When there is love, there is communication. And you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you are prepared to stop doing anything and everything that is part of this dunya and connect yourself with this unique connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, qasamtu salata, these are the words of Allah, that I have divided salah between me and my slave in 2 equal parts. Nisfain means into 2 equal parts. Now equal parts, nisf in the Arabic language, mathematically get it right, a complete half. 1/2, a complete half. So in 2 equal parts, the salah has been divided. Who is saying that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And please, don't fall asleep. Be vigilant and be awake. And say, A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim to shaytan. And listen attentively. And only if you listen, inshallah ta'ala, you will understand. Because we need to understand the translation. And so 2 halves, the salah has been divided into 2 halves. And then in the hadith, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, the words of Allah are, وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلَ. And for my servant is whatever he asks for. So in the hadith Qudsi, the lam here is lam-e-taqeed, which means with guarantee, with wali-abdi ma sa'ala, with guarantee, whatever my servant, my slave asks for, Allah is prepared to give him. With guarantee. The word lam here means guarantee. Now imagine in the hadith Qudsi, look into the words of the hadith. First of all, Allah is referring to that person in salah as my slave. As my slave. When Allah takes ownership and possession of a person with love, that is a sign of acceptance. That is a sign of acceptance. Someone will say that, this is my phone, my car. Allah is saying, that person is my servant, my slave. So when he starts his salah, Allah is saying that for my slave, that in itself tells you that a person who is in salah is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the milkiyat, the ownership, Allah is taking. And when Allah takes ownership, that is it. Subhanallah al-Azim. And then the words are, that فَإِذَا قَالَ الْعَبْدُ, when the servant says, الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. This is the communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you have opened up a dialogue. A dialogue with who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The question is that why can't we open up a dialogue in Urdu, in English, or in any of the words that we choose? The answer to that is that insan is fallible. Insan is full of mistakes. Insan is fallible. Insan makes mistakes. That is why for insan there is a prescription given to him of istighfar. Insan, in his zat, in his nature, there is deficiency. Brother, if you want to talk, please go out. It's disturbing me. It's just outside. Jazakallah. So there is deficiency in your, in the personality of that human being. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all perfect. The all perfect. And so how are you going to communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How are we going to adopt the mannerisms of how to communicate with Allah? Even today, if you were to meet up with a dignitary, or if you were out there to speak with someone of great stature and honor, you will be careful in choosing your words. In fact, you will prepare yourself. I have to give a speech, or I have to speak to him. Let me write the words properly. I'm meeting that person, a dignitary, an ambassador, or whoever. The right words, the selection of words are very important. And so Allah is saying that, let me open up a dialogue. How is this insan going to choose the words to communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because he is full of mistakes. And therefore, that is when the prophets come in. You see, one is you write the letter, and one is a letter that comes from the lawyers, from your solicitor. When you write a letter, it's different. But when a lawyer, a professional man, a solicitor writes a letter, that man has to think, oh, okay. So how do you open up a dialogue? That is where Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam come. Divine connection with Allah. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has taught his ummah that make sure that the foundation of salah is right. You will have a choice to ask Allah whatever you want, whenever you want. That possibility is there. But in the beginning, don't make a blunder. Make sure that because Allah is the most perfect, the words that you can give to Allah, the speech you can put to him, has to be the most perfect. And so Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, with the knowledge given to him by Allah, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam chose the introduction of the Quran, which is Suratul Fatiha, to open up the dialogue with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah is the most perfect, and his kalam is the most perfect. And so you can only use the most perfect kalam. You can't actually start your salah and say, all praises be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing an English session in Suratul Fatiha. It's so wrong. This is not your salah. How can you read your Salah in Urdu, English, or any other language? Can you do that? No. The reason is that the most perfect language also is the Arabic language, the language of the Quran. So that is why Suratul Fatiha is something that is read in namaz. Because it is the most perfect speech to open up as your kalam, as your introduction to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how do we start? We say Alhamdu. What do we say? Alhamdu. The word hamd in the Arabic language means praises. What does it mean? Praises. The word hamd means praises. Now, praises mean that that entity is most deserving of praise. Hamd means that entity is most deserving of praise. So that is the meaning of hamd. But the word alhamdu, the word alhamdu, if you look at the Quran, the kalam of Allah, the word hamd is there, and then the first words, letters are alif and lam. Alif and lam. When alif and lam comes in front of a word, in the word here, alhamd, hamd, it makes that word into a noun. What does it do? It changes into a noun. In the Arabic language, the noun is more superior than the verb. It is more superior than the verb. Why? Because the verb is muhtaj, limited by time, and the noun is not limited by time. So the noun is not limited by time. That is why the noun is more superior, ism. So alif lam is one of the symbols that only comes upon an ism, a noun. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changes the word hamd. It could have been hamida, a verb, but Allah gave it the most superior appearance, and Allah put an alif lam to show that this is a noun. What is it? A noun. And this noun is not limited to time. And then alif lam in the Arabic language, secondly, is also used for emphasis. What is it? For emphasis. So the word alhamdu means ultimately all praise, the ultimate praise. What is it? The ultimate praise. What does it mean? It's a definite article. So it means the praise. What it means is alhamdu, the ultimate praise. The ultimate praise. And because it is a noun, it is not limited to time. It means the ultimate praise was, the ultimate praise is, the ultimate praise will be. You understand? Very important. This is the beauty of the Arabic language. When you put something at an ism level, a noun, it's telling you the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how mighty He is, that Allah is not limited to time. So it starts off as alhamdu, the ultimate praise was, is, and will always be lillahi. For who? For Allah only. For Allah only. Now, understand this, my respected brothers. So the next time when we say alhamdulillah, at least we understand. We have some understanding. We have some understanding, so there can be some khushu' in our salah. So the ultimate praise, lillahi. Can you see the lam here? Lillahi. Lillahi. There's two words here again. One is the lam and the other is the word Allah. The other is the word Allah. Lillahi has got three meanings. Lillah has got three meanings. One is ownership, one is deserving, and one is reserved. One is reserved. So what it means is that the ultimate praise is owned by Allah, The ultimate praise is reserved for Allah. The ultimate praise is most deserving for Allah. Do you understand, brothers? So that is the meaning of Lam in the Arabic language. It gives three meanings. How powerful the Arabic language is. The ultimate praise, again Allah uses ism. And Allah, that in itself is ism. But the Lam has three meanings. That the ultimate praise is owned by Allah. The ultimate praise is reserved for Allah. The ultimate praise is most deserving for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So basically what it means, that even if somebody says here, if the kuffar or somebody, Allah save us, would say that I am not here to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it makes no difference to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because the ownership of praise, basically the very existence of praise, is because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if the word praise has been used in the world today, that is also because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if a person says, I'm not going to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah forbid, it makes no difference to the zat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is the translation, that the ultimate, ultimate praise belongs to who? Ownership is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the word praise only comes into existence because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So understand, when we say Alhamdulillahi, Alhamdulillahi. And then the next word is what? Rabbul Alameen. So it's Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. The word Rabb is just an amazing word in the Arabic language. Wallahi. One of the most beautiful words. How carefully, if you look at the Quran, the words have been selected. Allah is Alim, Allah is Khabir, Allah is Sami, Allah is Quddus. All the names, attributes of Allah. But the word that is chosen is Rabb. Rabb. Quran starts with Rabb, ends with Rabb. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Kul a'udhu bi Rabbin Nas. Ends with Rabb. Kul a'udhu bi Rabbin Nas. And when you expire from this dunya and everything ends, and when you are put down in the grave, the questions will be Mar Rabb? Mar Rabbuka. There it is also in the grave, is also Rabb. In the hadith it comes. Mar Rabbuka. What is it? Mar Rabbuka. In the Arabic language, it is only one word, Rabb. In the English language, it has got five translations. How many? Five translations. One word, five translations to understand. Rabb means the creator, the sustainer, the maintainer, the protector, the guider. What does it mean? Will you go over it again with me? The creator, the sustainer, the maintainer, the protector, and the guider. This is five meanings to one word, Rabb, so we understand. The Arabic language is so rich that you need five words to express, subhanallah, one word, Rabb. Ajib. And so basically, the ultimate praise belongs to Allah, who is the creator of all the worlds, who is the sustainer of all the worlds, who is the maintainer of all the worlds, who is the protector of all the worlds, who is the guider of all the worlds. Wherever he may be and whenever he comes into existence, in every capacity. That is the translation of Rabb. That is the translation of Rabb. So the next time when we read the Quran and when we say Allahu Akbar, understand Allah is greater than the wasavis that come. And then when you say Alhamdu, understand, it is not just praises, the ultimate praise. The ultimate praise. Lillahi, only ownership reserved, most deserving, and ownership is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, it's an ism that means praises, was, is, will be always for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rabb means that He is the Murabbi. Allah is the creator, sustainer, maintainer, protector, and Allah has guided everybody. And so He is the Rabbul Alameen. And Alam is singular and Alameen is plural. And Alameen means everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. Anything and everything. We don't know that. Now, remember I said that this is a communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just a few more minutes, brothers. This is a communication. In the Hadith Qudsi, when a person says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, then in the Hadith it comes that Allah says, Hamadani Rabbi, Hamadani Abdi, Hamadani Abdi, Hamadani Abdi. My slave has praised me. What does Allah say? My slave has praised me. See, we don't know what we are saying when we say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. This one sentence takes in everything. It takes in everything. So that is why Allah is saying Hamadani Abdi, that my servant has praised me. Someone might take this very lightly, that, you know, it's an obvious statement that, you know, you praised Allah and Allah is saying that my servant, my slave praised me. Why is Allah saying that my servant or my slave has praised me? Let me give you an example so that we can understand, inshallah, and we can take this much of sabak for today. Imagine, my respected brothers, that for the first time your son or your daughter goes to school, starts school, nursery. And there in nursery, mashallah, for the first time your son is scribbling, painting and doing things so that he starts off everything, inshallah, slowly. And then for the first time he has made some kind of a model with clay or whatever, and he's painted it, and he's done all sorts to it, this hideous object. Allah knows, whatever it is. But he's done it, you know, he's put his hands here, put his hands there, and he's put his hands there, and he's painted it red, black, yellow, whatever. And then the teacher says, what is this? This is a gift to my daddy. This is a gift to my daddy. And then he writes there, to my dad. Because the audience are men here, so I'm saying to my daddy. Now if you look at it, it's nothing. What is it? Then when he comes home, for the first time, your child says, Papa, I have a gift for you. Papa, I have a gift for you. And he comes out with something that only he knows. And he says, Dad, this is for you. Papa, this is for you. How will the father react? What will he say? He will say, oh, my son, wow, mashallah. How beautiful. Beta, come here, let me kiss you. Let me kiss you. Oh, my baby, come and sit here. How beautiful it is. Beta, let me kiss you. And show it to your sister, show it to your brothers, show it to your family, show it to your grandma, show it to your grandfather. MashaAllah, look, this is what he did. MashaAllah, how beautiful. And then what he will do is that, MashaAllah, this man has got a beautiful house. The living room is such that everything is artistic, you know, intricate colors, beautiful setting, decoration, everything that is there. And he decides to put this model, maybe where the fireplace is, towards a sort of a focal point, and right in the middle, and he puts it there and says, look, son, you know, I've put it there. And the son gets happy. Oh, I've done something amazing. What does he say? That's what he thinks. And then after a few days, say you have some guests that come along. And when they come at home and they admire your beautiful sitting room, your living room, and say, "Wow, yaar, ye sofa kahan se khareede? Beautiful sofa, beautiful carpet, beautiful decoration, wallpapers. MashaAllah, beautiful everything. Look at the color coordination." And then he's looking from right to left. All of a sudden he looks at this hideous object. What's this? What's this? Absolutely everything is beautiful. But just there in the middle, this is a showroom, sitting room. And then in the middle, there is this model, this hideous object that nobody knows what it is. All he says is, "For my daddy." And then when the guests look at that, then the father comes like a lion. He says, "This is a gift given to me by my son. Mere bete ka. This is a gift given to me by my son." Everybody understands. Oh, I see. Sentimental value by... It's given to me by my... The first gift, mere bete ka ye kiya, my son did it. Oh, even the guests were very nice, very beautiful. Put it there. No problem. The very same example, now understand that our salah is not even worth it. Our salah is tampered with, broken. There is no concentration. Just like that child, a hideous object puts color here, there. When you say Allahu Akbar, you're actually daydreaming somewhere. Your salah has got no ruh, no nothing. But just because you have said Allahu Akbar, and just because you have said Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah, let me say these words, Allah is, subhanallah, very sublime. But in our language, like how we show off what my son has done, Allah wants to show this off to the angels that look, Hamadani Abdi, that my slaves and servants are praising me. Look. Jibreel, look. Mikael, look. This broken salah, Allah accepts. That is how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. But this does not mean that we don't make an effort, my respected brothers. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our fundamental duty is to improve and to make our salah. So inshallah, the first sabak is, understand the meaning of Allahu Akbar. Understand Subhana Rabbiyal Ala. Understand the hadith Qudsi. Understand the meaning of Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Who will do the translation by Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen? The ultimate praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the creator, the sustainer, the maintainer, the protector, the one who guides, and who is the Rabb of all the worlds, who is the Lord of all the worlds. That is the meaning. So when you read your salah, practice on this. Do a bit of muraqabah, inshallah, and read your Surah Fatiha slowly so that you gain that concentration. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And then understand who is Rahman and Rahim. Understand that after Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah is saying that my slave has praised me. Allah is saying that my slave has praised me. Allah give us all the tawfiq. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka anta tawwabur rahim. اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية في الدنيا والآخرة يا الله يا رحمن يا الله يا الله ہمارے اس بیٹھنے کو قبول فرما اللہ سننے کو قبول فرما اللہ ہماری نماز ٹوٹی پھوٹی ہوئی ہے یا اللہ اس کو تو قبول کر لے یا اللہ اس کو قبول کر لے یا اللہ ہمیں طاقت دے توفیق دے کہ ہم اپنی نماز کی اصلاح کر لے یا اللہ ہمیں توفیق دے ہماری صلاح خاشعین والی ہو ہماری صلاح متقین والی ہو اللہ ہماری صلاح ایسی ہو نماز ایسی ہو جو قابل رشک ہو یا اللہ جس پر آپ فخر کرے فرشتوں پر یا رحمان یا رحیم یا اللہ ہم نے جتنے گناہ کیے ہیں یا اللہ صدق دل سے یا اللہ توبہ کرتے ہیں یا اللہ صغیرہ گناہ معاف فرما کبیرہ گناہ معاف فرما اللہ رات کے وقت جو ہم نے گناہ کیے ہیں اس کو معاف فرما دن کے وقت گناہ کیے ہیں یا اللہ معاف فرما ظاہر میں گناہ کیا ہے معاف فرما چھپ کر گناہ کیا ہے معاف فرما अल्लाह तू रहीम है, करीम है, अल्लाह हम मिस्कीन है, गरीब है, मोहताज है, अल्लाह तू हमारी हिफाजत फरमा, हर जानिब से हमारी हिफाजत फरमा। या अल्लाह हमारी औलाद हमारी आंखों की ठंडक बने, या अल्लाह जिसकी जो परेशानी हो उस परेशानी को दूर फरमा, अल्लाह हमारी औलाद हमारी आंखों की ठंडक बने, अल्लाह मुसलमान की नस्ल हमेशा दीन इस्लाम के ऊपर हो, मुस्तहकम हो, या अल्लाह इस्लाम के दरवाजे को इस मुल्क में खोल दे, या रहमान या रहीम, सूर्या में या अल्लाह जो परेशान हाल मुसलमान है, या अल्लाह उनकी परेशानियों को दूर फरमा, या अल्लाह जो दुनिया से चले गए हैं उनकी कब्रों को मुनव्वर फरमा, या अल्लाह जितने लोग यहाँ बैठे हुए हैं या अल्लाह तेरी रजा के लिए बैठे हैं, या अल्लाह हर एक को जन्नतुल फिरदौस में जगह दे दे। व सल्लल्लाहु तआला अला खैरि खल्क़िही मुहम्मदिन व अला आलिही व असहाबिही व अज़वाजिही व ज़ुर्रियातिही व अहलि बैतिही अजमईन बिरहमतिक या अरहमर राहिमीन।